message that I put together is, Lord, get me out of here. Because I feel all of us, as we've been going through this election time, as one of the most challenging times, frustrating times that all the world has been in because of American election. And let me preface what I'm saying here also. There are people in the hospitals today because of worrying and fretting what is going to come. I'm working with people. There's people that are more sick than ever before and more emotional sick than anything else. And so God help us. Scripture and verse. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Look at this. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. Nobody. Now, let me cue you in. In every man that and woman that lives on planet Earth, there is a God-shaped vacuum that is not filled until Jesus Christ comes into that person's heart. And you need to realize that. The title of my message came about by listening to public radio. As I glance at it now and then when the Holy Spirit says, listen. And then some news comes on, and there was a gentleman putting together a movie on Get Me Out of Here. It was along those titles, you know, because he was saying that everyone in the whole world has, he didn't go to this degree, but yet that principle is there, that there's something about getting out of here. And they discovered that there is some water crystals on the moon, and then he's putting together where there was confinement, just very important for today. People were confined, and they wanted to get out. And so the message comes from that and this scripture here today, that I want you to understand that we're all there at the same place. Lord, I don't want to go on without your help, but we're still here. How many can say amen? And I want to help you. Now, Deuteronomy 6:6-7 goes back in the beginning, and I want you to understand that. And these words which I command thee this day, this is Moses, God giving Moses direction for coming into the promised land, and that command thee this day shall be where? In your heart. And thou shalt teach them to your children diligently. To your children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now, look at this. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. Folks, I don't know about you, but that doesn't leave anywhere out. Have you been doing that? This is a commandment. The chapter preceding that was when God gave the Ten Commandments. Are they still relevant today? Let me cue you in that I believe that the reason why the world is in the state it's in, Pennsylvania is in the state it's in, America is in the state it's in, because of this promise that we're not fulfilling as a church. Can we all say amen to that? Give the Lord a hand for that. Well, I don't know if I want to. Well, come on. The word needs to be exalted. Leadership in crisis is my understatement of why I am teaching you today and why I'm going here. And the amazing thing that we are showing to you 10 years ago, San Jose gold and copper mine, there were 33 men that were entombed half a mile below the earth. Okay? And the amazing thing was that they had to engineer, first of all, they were down there for over 2 months. Get this picture. They were entombed for 2 months. First of all, they had to drill a little air hole down. It was a small hole. And then they had to drill a big a next hole to get food down to them. And then number three hole they had to drill was a 27-inch big hole to get this basket down. And they had to make sure that no one had around the belly more than 36-inch belly. Now get that, to be able to come up, because it is amazing. But they were there 10 years ago, and the 33 miners, what they're saying, the 33 miners, we are waiting for you, the families. You get this thing. This was on the news all around the world, and they were saying never in all history has 33 people been saved under a mine. They call it Camp Hope, and that's very interesting. And Hebrews tells us, 11:1, now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For I love what the Amplified tells us here. Now faith is. Everybody say, now faith is. Now faith is. It is what? The assurance. It is the confirmation. It is the title deed of things hoped for, things that prove the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith producing as real fact what is not received by the senses. How many can say amen to that? I want to help you. What is faith? You know, Camp Hope was there, but Romans 5:3 tells us here, we also rejoice in our sufferings. Do you? No, we don't. But that's the word of the Lord. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know the suffering produces what? Perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. Now, the best way that you'll be able to remember these things is to write these scriptures down, okay? That's very important to do. Now, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by what? The Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. Hey. That's what the Holy Spirit has done. Now, President and Eloise, can you help me pronounce that? Sebastian Panera. The president of that time was very, he loved the Lord, and he was more of a believer than the average president around South America right now. And he said, they have experienced a new life, a rebirth. And so far, Chile, we aren't the same that we were before the collapse on August 5th. Today, Chile is a country much more united. Amazing, he goes on to say there. Now, these are the 33, okay? And as I was doing a study on this, all around the world, they were saying never in history has 33 men kept alive in this kind of episode. I want to help you to see that there is hope for you and I. And look, that's what they were coming up with. Now remember, they had to do exercise down there. They had an area of about 2 football fields that they had to, they pumped oxygen in, and where they had to be, they had to literally just eat about 2-3 weeks before they got any oxygen down or food down there. They literally had to eat very lightly and watch themselves so that they can survive. Okay, get this. And then when they start having food down there, they had to still make sure that they ate the right kind of food and they got the right kind of exercise, you know. And that was interesting. But when they were coming out, you can see the expression on their face, how all 33 of them were saved. They give the Lord a hand. Why? Because of leadership. And that's where I'm getting at. We have leadership in crisis. Let me start with the church. And in the world today, especially in America, leadership is in crisis. Let me just encourage you just for one moment. Leadership is the capacity to influence others through inspiration. Now, look at this. What does inspiration mean? Each one of us are leaders. Every last one of you are a leader. Very important for you to understand this. Leader through influence through inspiration. Inspiration is the divine influence on a person believed to qualify him or her to receive. What does that say? To receive. What does it say there? And communicate, receive, and communicate sacred revelation. That's what inspiration means. I don't know about you, but I am going to have even a greater passion since I understand that. Influence through inspiration, it will produce a greater passion, and it will unite a new purpose. How we need to get back in America. You agree? How we need to get back to this in the Church of Jesus Christ. Purpose, passion, inspiration, and influence. How important that is to us today. It's through prayer. These men and the whole world was praying. I want you to know. Okay? They got on their knees. They were all desperate. The families were all desperate. There were more prayers going up all around the world than almost anything else at this time. Prayer. And a little 19-year-old man that was down there in that gold and copper mine, okay, he said it this. There were actually 34 of us because God has never let us down here alone. Amen. Look at that. On the shirts, they made shirts for this, and this is what their shirts, Eloise could read it in Spanish here, but this is what it said. It had Psalms 40, 94, and 5. Because in his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountains and the peaks are from him. Okay? What are they? The peaks? Belong to who? Him. And the depth. The mountains and the depth. They knew. To God be the glory. They were recognizing God in their consignment, in their confinement, in their Lord, get me out of here activity. Now, then this is one thing that I believe is so important. Let's read it together. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Did you know that you praying and humbling yourself will affect the land where you live? And God help us, we need to get back to that. And here's where I want to go with us here. George Washington said, this is one of the fathers of our country. It is what? Let's read it together. It is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. Farewell address on September the 19th, 1776. Very interesting as I was studying this very thing concerning how we need to understand that we need to bring God back into America in Jesus' name. In 1947, on March the 12th, President Harry Truman signed the European Recovery Program, better known as the Marshall Plan, because of the Secretary of the State, Marshall. And so in making the case for Europe aid before Congress on March the 12th, 1947, Truman used compassionate language and pragmatic appeal. Now listen to what he said, President Truman. The seeds of totalitarian regime are nurtured by misery and want. They spread and grow in the evil soil of poverty and strife. Think about where we're at now in America. They reach their full potential when the hope of a people for a better life has died. Remember, they're all looking for the candidates to give us a better life. And we must keep the hope alive. If we falter in our leadership, we may endanger the peace of the world, and we shall surely endanger the welfare of our nation. This is no more scriptural than God Himself, because as we were to say, righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. This is the word of the Lord. Folks, Proverbs, let's read that all together so you know. Proverbs 29 and 1. Let's read it together so you know the word. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Righteousness exalts a nation. Developing the leader within you. Let's go there. Let me encourage you today where I am at. I believe it's high time the Church of Jesus Christ rises to her place that God intended her to be. Brother Justin, I want to thank you for that word of the Lord that you gave. It was right on. And I was saying amen to it. And we need to stay focused. And that's why the Lord gave me this message for this time when, oh, we still need to pray for America. Hey, it's not about a donkey or it's not about a mule. It's about the lion of the tribe of Judah. Can you say amen? Let's get another amen. Amen. God help us. Joshua 1, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. What? Are you doing it? Day and night. And thou mayest observe to do to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. Very important. Prosperous, good success. Comes from what? Comes from, behold, we find in 3 John. Look at that. Let's read it together. Behold, I wish, let's read it all together. Behold, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. What? So, I believe according to this word that if you're not prospering, it's because of your soul. Come on. Look at this. It's Jeremiah. Listen to this. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and what? And not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. Everybody say hope. And a future. Very important for us to understand that truth. Okay? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Okay? Thy mouth. Everybody say your mouth. Say to your neighbor, your mouth counts. Come on. Hey, help us. We got to say the right thing. Very important. Okay, Luke 17, 5 through 6 tells us, and the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can what? You can say. to this mulberry tree, be rooted up and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Well, I don't think we're quite there yet, but hey, Jesus said it. Very important. Your mouth. Proverbs 18:21. I'm giving you scripture about your mouth. That's the one we have the most trouble with. Death and life are in the what? The power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit of it. If you love death, you're going to eat the fruit of death in your life. If you love life, if you speak life, you're going to eat the fruit of life. Very important. Faith. Faith the promises and looks to God alone. Faith laughs at impossibilities and cries, God, I believe you can do it. Do you believe that? Very important. So, what is included in faith? Faith sees, faith speaks, and faith acts. Amen. It sees. What are you looking at? You got to look at the right thing, though. You know, if you listen to all the news and you're listening to all what's going on around about, Lord, help us. You know, very important. So I love what the Amplified Version tells us on Mark 4:24. And he said unto them, be careful what you are hearing. Is this very timely today? What are you hearing? The measure of thought and study. Oh, what are you thinking? What are you studying? Will be the measure of virtue and knowledge. That comes back to you, and the more besides will be given to you who hear. Hear what? The right thing. What are you listening to? Very important. Romans 10:19 tells us. Let's read it together. And faith comes by what? Hearing. And what hearing? Hearing the word of God. No wonder we as so-called believers are not producing God's kingdom and God's authority, because we are not hearing God's word enough. That's one thing I am so thankful for. I tell you over and over again, and I go there at every day of my life. I start with the word of God, because my parents taught me, if you don't start with God's word, you're going to be a miserable person. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The book of the law out of my mouth. Oh, Luke, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. That which is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Let's read this last phrase together. What does it say here? For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. I don't know about you, but I can listen to you and know where your heart is. Because you can only talk of what's in your heart. If you're always downing everybody, always condemning, and always saying, let's go back there. I get going here too quick. Okay. I get excited about this. You know, every person you hear, you can hear where their heart is by how they talk. Even I have people here in this church that are concerned about some of us in leadership, and I told you this, we better watch our mouth. Turn to your neighbor and say, watch your mouth. Turn to your neighbor and say, watch your mouth. Because I don't care how spiritual you are, you can operate in the flesh so easily. And God help us as leaders. We're all leaders here. Watch what you say. Does it line up with God's word? That is the acid test, folks. I'm stuck on this here. Abundance of the heart. John 15:5 said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him beareth much abounding fruit. However, apart from me, everybody say me, Jesus said, and what that meant, from vital union with me. Do you have a vital union with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ? If you don't, you cannot do anything that benefits God's kingdom. That's where we're at, folks. So important. Abundant fruit. And then Galatians 5:20. But if the fruit of the Spirit is, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Fruit of the Spirit. Let me say something here. God gave me a revelation. If you don't have the Spirit of God in your life, you're not producing any of these. Hear me. Hear the Spirit of the Lord. Let me say it another way. The fruit of the Spirit. These are an acid test if the Spirit of God is in your life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That means patience. I don't know about you. Brother Ben, I've been working on that big time with my family, starting with the home, you know. Have patience. Very important. Gentleness. That means kindness. You can't help but be kind if the fruit of the Spirit is living in you. The Holy Spirit is alive in you. Goodness. That means benevolence. You can't help but be good. Come on. Faith. Faithfulness. Your wife can count on you. Your husband can count on you. Your children can count on you. Everybody can count on you. You are faithful. That is the hallmark of a leader. Faithful. Faithfulness. Meekness. Humility. Jesus said, he that is greatest in my kingdom is the servant of all. You have to have that attitude 24/7. I don't care what position you hold. You need to have these in your life. Now, Romans tells us that we have to be different. Dare to be different. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. It's our responsibility, folks, here. Be different. How many can say we have to be different to change our culture, to change our world, to change our city, to change our family? We must be different in speech. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let your speech be always with grace. Grace? Always? Grace? Seasoned with salt? Folks, this is leadership for all of us. That you may know how you ought to answer everyone. I love this. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that is helpful for building others up according to their needs. That it may benefit those who listen to you. Let's camp there just for a moment. Unwholesome talk. What does that... Boy, I tell you what, I got to move on. But is there unwholesome talk coming out of your mouth or my mouth? Holy Ghost, put the pressure off. Very important. You say, it's impossible. The things which are impossible with man are what? You shouldn't speak that way. No, God help us. I'm too tired. Oh, you hear this all the time, you know. Well, Jesus said, come unto me, all the labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That means if you're tired, you're not coming. Come on. Oh, nobody really loves me. Oh, we say that all the time, you know. But let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I can't go on. Hey, everybody's saying that here in the world today. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Oh, what opportunity we have to celebrate the grace of God. Oh, hallelujah. We are the church of the living God today. I can't do it. Well, no. I can do all things through Christ who infuses and who strengthens me. We got to talk right. We're talking wrong. Oh, I am not able to. Well, And God is able to make, oh, this is a good one to have 24/7 for you. Write it down. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto what? All grace. How much is all? Oh, Jesus, help us here today. I'm not worth it. Oh, yeah. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to this purpose. We know, hallelujah, that God is working things out. Oh, yes, you are worth it here today. I can't forgive myself. You hear a lot of people say that. We can all say that. But what did 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess what? Our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And what? And what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So hallelujah. If you come to Jesus and you ask him to forgive you, you are pure in the eyes of God. Oh, give the Lord a hand for that. Hallelujah. Oh, this gets me going here today. I love it. I can't manage. Well, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. So if you can't manage, let him manage for you. All right. Very important. I'm afraid. Well, we're saying it all the time. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? A power and love and a sound mind. Oh, it's so important. I'm always worried and frustrated. Well, why don't you cast all your care upon the Lord? Why? Because he cares for you. Oh, thank you. Hey, this is getting pretty good, man. I tell you, I don't have enough of faith. Look at this. Romans 1:12-3. God has dealt to every man, that includes you, every man, woman, boy, and girl, a measure of faith. How much is a measure? Enough. I have faith enough. Oh, I love this. I love this. I love this. I'm not smart enough. Okay, we all say that. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You got it. In Christ, you have wisdom. Oh, you need him. So important. I feel all alone. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're not thinking about him. Hey, he's there. Oh, dare to be different. And be not conformed to this world, what, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is proved and good and holy. Now, Sister Corrie ten Boom. How many remember Sister Corrie ten Boom? I came up with this. Someone sent it my way, and I said, I have to show it to us this morning. This is what she said. Oh, she was the one that was in the concentration camps and all that, and what a story she has, you know, Corrie ten Boom. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Oh, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Oh, my. I want you to come to the music here if you get that. But I just want to show you this here picture that I got from an auctioneer. He couldn't sell it. And so he gave it to me. This is an old picture. Look at that. In the back there. I like to take it apart just to see what it is. But this is an old picture. I don't know. He said he couldn't sell it, so I got it from an auctioneer. I love it, this picture here. And so thank God for it. You know, and so God is so good. And I should have some of that. Trying to get it so they can see it on Facebook also. Right there. But we got to get back to the cross. All right? And I'm just ready. Yeah, you can hold that for a minute here. We have to get back to the cross. The cross. And that's where I'm at here today. Affirming the cross. And I want us to go there. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. We got to get back to agape love. Thank you, Ben. You can put that aside now. God be love. Love is eternal. Love is the supernatural implant of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you love others, you can change a nation. Love yourself and others, and it is always rewarded with eternal rewards. You are special. When you ask Jesus in your heart, you have the Garden of Eden there. Well, this is all powerful. We believe we are eternal, and our decisions have eternal impact. And we base our mission on the simple mission of Christ. Where is my heart? Where is your heart? Jesus invites us to be, invites us to ask Him to come into our hearts. Do you know, I think it would be good for every last one of us here to get saved again. Get back to our first love. Agape love. Agape love. The two filial loves, human love. I love you if you'll do what I want you to do. Or I love you because of what I can get out of you. That's our human loves. But God's love, which needs to be restored to Grace Chapel first and the whole world. I love you, period. Doesn't matter what you do or don't do. I love you. I like every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. This is how much, reading out of the Message Bible, God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one needed to be destroyed. By believing in Him, everyone can have a whole and lasting life. Lord Jesus, we come to the foot of the cross, each one of us here today. And Jesus, we want to thank You for loving each one of us and dying on the cross for our sins. We ask You to come into our life and give all of us a new peace, a new joy, and a new hope. By You, my Savior and Lord, fill us with Your Spirit so that we have power to live Your life now in these dark and gruesome times. And we look forward to spending eternity with You. Please, Lord, let me know You are real in my life. Amen and amen. Can you say amen? That's what it's all about, of getting back to the cross.